This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca. The following story explores the issue of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and 2S LGBTQI+ people. If you are affected by this issue and need immediate emotional assistance, please call 1-844-413-6649 to reach the Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls Crisis Line. That's 1-844-413-6649. In northern BC, Highway 16 has become known globally as a highway of tears because of the murders and disappearances, primarily of women, girls, and 2S LGBTQIA+ peoples. Year over year, awareness of this issue is increasing, but the route remains marked by violence and human trafficking. Annually, visually acknowledging that reality is Red Dress Day, occurring May 5th. Where individuals, organizations, and anyone interested can display a red dress in a window, a storefront, a signpost, and wear red to express solidarity. In the heart of the city of Prince George, a permanent memorial has been placed at the intersection of Highway 16 and Ferry Avenue. And branching off of Highway 16, a two-hour drive northwest of Prince George, but unfortunately still a part of this story, in the municipality of Fort St. James, a permanent memorial has been placed in downtown's Spirit Square. The Red Dress campaign's intention includes both healing and education. Gathering on the edge of Highway 16 by the Red Dress Memorial here in Prince George, Claylie-Tenay, a route known to have claimed so many lives, members of the Prince George community gathered. One of the coordinators for the Prince George event was Kelsey Spears, a Calls for Justice outreach worker with Carrier Sicani Family Services.
I think it's just very important to acknowledge the family members that come forward on these days and how big of a thing that can be. I think there's many people that don't know what it feels like, including myself, to go through the loss that we are talking about here today. So yeah, just the acknowledgement and understanding of people are where they're at, and we're here to celebrate them and lift them up on days like this.
Over time, have you seen or felt any initiatives or services that have helped to make the highway more equitable for people to use safely?
Yeah, so I know that there has been some initiatives, research projects. I know there's the new bus initiative that's going on, the $5 bus to get across through Highway 16. I do think there's plenty of work to be done, especially when going from the rural communities to the highway. Of course, it's only addressing part of the issue. Another thing is there has been cell towers that have gone up, which is amazing. I know that many organizations have worked together with Bell Mobility to bring that connection further across the highway. Again, of course, more work to be done. One thing that I would mention is, so in 2006, when the Highway of Tears Symposium first happened, there was 33 Highway of Tears recommendations that had come out. From that, 231 calls for justice came out, and those are ways that Canadians in every sector, wherever you work, if you go to school, if you're a general Canadian, there are things that you can do to put these into implementation, to build that awareness and to create the safer space. So while there are organizations doing the work, I do believe the safe spaces really start with acknowledging one another and acknowledging the people who we're grounded in doing this for and acknowledging them. I mean, I do think, of course, there's more that everybody can do, every organization, big or small. So there is things. I will say one thing that we are working on putting into place more permanently are billboards. We're actually looking at changing the stereotypes of Indigenous people to a better narrative of we are hope, we are strength, instead of the stigmas that we see so alive and well today. That project, the Highway of Tears billboard project, is on a bit of a pause because we're looking at getting some funding, of course, to get those signs up permanently. So one of the things that I would like to see happen, of course, would be to have those signs up, and not only to have the signs we are hope, we are strength, but to have them in the specific communities along Highway 16. I just think the further acknowledgement of the actual Indigenous First Nation communities, they are hope, they are strength, will go a long way in changing that narrative.
And this is far from the only event happening in the province or the area, is that right?
Yes, that is right. So all across BC, even into northern BC in the interior, even all the way east into the Maritimes and Ontario, there are gatherings going on. So
that was Kelsey Spears, Carrier Sicani Family Services Calls for Justice outreach worker, on May 5th at the intersection of Highway 16 and Ferry Avenue in Prince George, Claylie-Tenay. As it was a national day of awareness with events happening across Canada, C4 Radio decided to pack up its gear and head a little further across the region, heading northwest to Fort St. James, roughly an hour off of Highway 16, the turnoff just past Vanderhoof. On the main traffic artery in Fort St. James, where Stewart Lake Highway meets Stewart Drive West, approximately 50 people marched down the road towards Spirit Square, a park, along with the rest of the town, perched on the southeast shore of Stewart Lake, or Nakao Bun. There in Spirit Square, you could smell the aspen sap running through the trees as the morning temperature increased. The reverberations of drumming drowned out the steady Tuesday traffic in this municipality of roughly 4,500 people. The Nakadziwatan Nation organized this local acknowledgement of Red Dress Day, where a number of nations had members representing themselves and people they have lost from their community. Nakadziwatan Nation Office Manager Loretta Prince began locally organizing a Red Dress Day event in 2018.
We are in Fort St. James. We're just adjacent to five First Nations communities who are all affected by missing and murdered Indigenous men, women, and children, and two-spirited people. Very happy to be here today for another year. I remember in 2018, there was about five of us that started the awareness walk on our missing and murdered people. It's grown this big, and we have a big crowd today, and Creator gave us a beautiful day on Mother Earth to be able to bring out the awareness again this year. We have five First Nations, like I mentioned earlier. We're still looking for Bonnie Joseph, and we're still looking for Mackie Basil. Those are from the Yekuche First Nation, just up the lake here, Stewart Lake. And the other, Mackie, is up in Tache, and we're still, the families are still searching. I just pray that one day they find some answers and justice is served.
And roughly how many people would you say are in attendance today?
I would say we have about 50 people in the awareness walk today.
And you said in 2018 you started with roughly five people?
Five of us, yes.
Does it give you some solace to see the involvement in this growing and the awareness along with it?
The big part about today is supporting the families that are still searching for their missing family members, and to come together and to say a prayer with them that they're not forgotten, that we're still with them in unity and in spirit. And the other part about it is that we come to bring the awareness to the RCMP. Our RCMP officers in our detachment, they change over year after year. They're not familiar with how many people that are missing and murdered in our area, so a lot of the awareness goes to the local RCMP members, and also to the lead investigating team that we invited up the last 2 years, and they came up and spoke with the family members, which was really nice to bring them from Vancouver to Fort St. James to actually speak to the families and what we're going through at our local level. And that was a big part for the last 2 years.
Since you began coordinating this, it sounds like it's been a little easier to communicate with the RCMP and get some of the advocacy you're working on, that messaging actually in with the RCMP. Would you agree with that, or what are you looking forward to and what has yet to be done as far as that relationship building?
The main part is the educational teachings of who to educate them, who we are. We're Dakel people, and our young women are just going missing. Where did Bonnie go? Where did Mackie go? People know, and we need to bring this awareness out so people could speak up, so we could find them. And the awareness is to let people know that there is support out here. We do have team investigators investigating to help us to find them. So there is a process in place. We just ask people to reach out and let us know where we could find them so we could bring peace to the families.
That's Loretta Prince, a Fort St. James community member who's been advocating on behalf of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and 2SLGBTQIA+ people for years. Later in the event, one of the Nakasliwutan counselors, Fred Sam, took the mic for a moment, reminding attendees that in order for this issue to improve, men also have to get involved and take action in their own way.
Yeah, I think it's important that men step up, and we're here to protect the women, because sometimes women are afraid to speak out and that too. So the men need to stand behind them and also protect them. And if there's anything happening, they need to step up. And I think just like to mention that we're a matrilineal society too. So we're born into our mother's clan. So we always need to honor the women and honor them that way.
Certainly.
Just with the mining camps or pipeline camps, I think they need to, because there's more women going into that industry, they need to have more protection for them, because there's still sexual harassment happening in those camps. And that's where the men or the managers and supervisors need to step up and help protect the women there. So.
And more people know things than they're willing to come forward with necessarily. Yeah. Well, to what extent do you think relationship building needs to be done between men and women, or perhaps, you know, community and federal authority figures like the RCMP, to make communication a little safer to do, so people are more willing to come forward, talk with each other about, you know, what's going on and what can be done and come to solutions?
Yeah, and I think it needs to happen regionally, like even First Nations to First Nations, and the provincial government needs to also do more. Like, we need to see them in our communities, not just down south where they are. So ministers need to come up this way and talk to us. And also mayors and ourselves, like, we need to work together and solving some of these issues too. So we need to step up.
That's Fred Sam, a Nakasliwutan counselor, touching on the roles men have to play in addressing violence against women, girls, and 2SLGBTQIA+ peoples. Sacrificing late nights to make events like this happen are people like Tanya Prince, a Nakasliwutan community wellness lead operating out of the Prince George satellite office. She identifies why it's so important to invest the time and energy gathering people together to acknowledge days like this.
Specializing in mental health and wellness, especially in my hometown, I just think it's very important that we address this huge problem. I attended the 20th anniversary Highway of Tears symposium that happened a couple weeks ago in Prince George, and it was a four-day event of updates that came from Carrizo County Family Services were the hosts. Mary TG couldn't stress enough that we need to do more. The government needs to do more. And attending the events yearly as mental health support, I just find that this is very near and dear to my heart.
The work you do with mental health support, it's an integral component in healing any individual, any community. Through the arc of the work that you've done, do you feel that you're seeing a positive change? If you have, what has supported that? Am I assuming too much? Have things changed for the better?
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of work that needs to be done, especially like in the social determinants of health, like employment, housing, poverty, just all the things from intergenerational trauma, from effects from the 60 scoop, the residential schools, and all those oppressive things that have affected our health and well-being, the opioid crisis.
All contributing factors that have worked towards making people more vulnerable to become...
Yes. Cindy Ghostkeeper was here. She had a beautiful speech. It's like we come from a matriarchal society, and we need to protect our women. We need to teach our men about partner violence, and I think that's where it starts. and going back to our old ways of the way we lived. The women were the decision makers, the men were protectors and providers, and going back to the land and doing things that we did for wellness, health and wellness.
Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you want people to know?
Keep spreading awareness. Keep protecting our people, our vulnerable population. Yeah, I can't say enough about, and for the government to do more, to keep doing more, because there's a lot of areas where funding is a huge issue. And it's we're cutting back on funding, especially for, the victim families. They need support. The unsolved cases that are still lingering, and the families just seem to have no support.
That's Tanya Prince, community wellness lead, working for the Nakasli Wutan Nation and playing a critical role in orchestrating this year's Red Dress Day events in Fort St. James, BC. From here, we circle back to the side of Highway 16 in Prince George Clayley today, speaking to Kelsey Spears of Carrier Sakani Family Services.
And in terms of making a difference, action does not have to be limited to this one day a year. But when it comes to volunteerism or engaging with your community, what do you like to see happening in your community, or what would you encourage people in our community to do to get involved and make a positive change?
So, anything you can do, whether it's showing up and being a body at an event and just showing that you are a safe person, that you do care, and that you are willing to come take up space for a greater cause is wonderful to see. I think that if you can do some other things to empower some people around you that may be facing difficulties that would lead them down the road of MMIW, that is another great thing. I think just not letting it go and really taking part and taking up that space and being loud and proud about it.
Thank you so much.
May 5th, 2026, Red Dress Day campaigns occurred all over Canada, an event that has unresolved roots right here in northern BC. If this story has affected you negatively, the BC Mental Health Support Line is at 310-6789. No area code required. The number connects you to your local BC crisis line without a wait or busy signal 24/7. That number is 310-6789. Thanks for listening. This is Ian Gregg reporting for CIFA Radio's Due North on 88.7 FM. This initiative is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada through the Local Journalism Initiatives Program. Find our news stories online at frequencynews.ca or cfur.ca.